you so much for joining us today. This is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse, and as always, we are wishing you the best. And this is a really special day. We're coming to the end of an age, the end of a millennium, the end of a year. We had an amazing solstice, and we're right in the midst of the energy of that transition. So we're so excited to be with you today right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And as always, we'd love you to join us, and we'd love to hear from you. We have quite a number of people who download these podcasts, something in the hundreds of thousands of you. So we're so happy to have you on board. And you can get in touch by going to naturalnurse.com. The website is still, I know it's old fashioned, and that's because I'm old, the most comprehensive place to find all our content. If you go to naturalnurse.com and look under calendar, you will see we have a wide array of classes coming up. And in fact, especially moving into the new year, we have a class on herbal manufacturing, legal considerations. That's actually a free class that's being hosted by the American Herbalist Guild. Very good idea to know before you go. Like if you want to start a new business selling herbal products, please take that class first. I will give you a warning. It might support you making a different choice, unless you have very deep pockets to play with the authorities. So I suggest you know before you go. In addition, we have a class called the Natural Nurse Herbal Certification Course coming up, and that's an exciting class. This is the best time to take it because it's the most cost-effective since we do a big, big group. And in that class, you actually get 18 CEU credits. If you are a nurse, a registered dietitian, a licensed massage therapist, a licensed acupuncturist, all of those, as well as a nurse practitioner. So you get 18 CEU credits for taking that class. And if you want to learn about using herbal medicine and natural medical techniques for yourself, your family, your loved ones, or move into doing it professionally, this is a good place to start because all of those credits can be used towards your RH. An RH is a registered herbalist through the American Herbalist Guild, and that is a recognized herbal certification. That's not a quick and easy thing, and the Natural Nurse Herbal Certification course can be used towards that. And we can go into that in more detail, get in touch, and I'll explain that process to you. And visit our many free aspects on thenaturalnurse.com, including our radio shows, which we have been bringing to you since 1987. And we have thousands of them posted, totally free for you to listen to. And so you can visit naturalnurse.com. And today, we are so happy to have as our guest, Joanne Shenandoah, PhD, and she has a long, unbelievably high-level accreditation. She is one of Native Americans' most celebrated musicians and lecturers. She carries beauty in her soul and her voice, which you will get to hear right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z today. And also provides interactions with diverse communities around the world. She provides strength and passion for the people that is found in the likes of iconic philosophers and wisdom keepers. She also won a Grammy and 45 other music awards, plus an Emmy nomination. She is an ambassador for peace, human and earth rights, and captures the heart of audiences all over the world, as I know she will do with you today, right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. So thank you so much for being our guest, Joanne.
Thank you so much, Ellen, for having me on the show. This is just a delight.
So just so you know, you look beautiful, but we don't have, we just have audio on this show.
Understand.
So just so you know what it is. Now, you have been doing your work for a very long time. And since we have, you know, this isn't just a little soundbite, we have an hour to really go into learning about you and really sharing with the audiences how they can be of assistance in the many causes, humanitarian causes that you're involved in. Let's go back in time a little bit to the little girl, you. So where did that happen and what was your early life like?
My native name is Digalihuacqua, which means she sings or lifts the spirit, which is a very beautiful name. I was given that when I was a little girl. My mom was a clan mother responsible for the political, social, and spiritual welfare of the people. My dad was a chief of the Onondaga Nation, my mom the Oneida Nation, and we are a matriarchal system. So it means the women are the leaders. The women are the ones who have final decision. And we choose the chiefs and also take them out of office. So when I was a little girl, I learned a lot about my heritage. My family had me on stage from a young girl in the third grade, helping to give presentations so that people could understand Native and Iroquois life and all the contributions such as democracy and the beauty of our world and how we'd learn to live in balance and harmony with each other in the natural world. So I started at a very young age, and I feel very blessed to have come from such a strong heritage that we're still here, we're still telling our stories. And yes, I've been recording and performing for over 30 years now, and it's been quite an amazing life experience.
And where was that you were brought up?
I was born in Syracuse, New York, in the heart of the Iroquois Confederacy, and I now live in Oneida Territory on the very homestead where Chief Shenandoah lived and died at the age of 110. He was friends with George Washington. And during the Revolutionary War, he was responsible for bringing 300 bushels of corn all the way to Valley Forge. And they say if it weren't for that one saving act, we would be all speaking British accents today. So, I mean, I feel very, very honored to be living on this sacred land. I had Morley Safer in my living room once ask me, what makes this land sacred? What makes our earth sacred? The earth continues to give to us. And so I feel very blessed in that way that she, and we look at her as our mother, the earth, because she sustains us. She sustains all life. And every single natural element of our earth has a song. So it's a beautiful way to wake up in the morning and be full of gratitude for all these blessings of life that we have. So here I am, right in the heart of Iroquois Territory in New York.
Well, what a wonderful past story, but you really continued on that spiritual path, sharing your whole life. So what made you decide that was your life's work?
Well, I happen to be very adept to musical instruments, and so my mother sent me to private school where it was a parochial school, but it was for me like a resort because I got to I got a chance to have a beautiful experience, and I had this experience of learning every musical instrument I could put my hands on, and I think that everyone has a special gift or a special talent to share with the world, and a lot of these songs are very, very amazing and very powerful because they come from our ancestors. They're like divine inspirations for me. So I hope you'll enjoy listening to something from the very first Grammy nomination. I've had three. So this one is Peacemaker's Journey, one of the songs I think you may have chosen. I'm not sure which one, but it was a real honor to have that as the first Grammy nomination.
So I found out from our engineer, we can play a song. I'm not sure if he's able to find that exact song, or would you like to play it for us live, Joanne?
Oh, I think if you have one that people would listen to, that'd be wonderful. And then a little bit later, I'll be happy to sing a song for you.
That's excellent. So we did work with the engineer. You know, this is an amazing thing, isn't it? Our engineer is sitting in New York City. You are in your home, and I'm here in Florida. I am interacting with my beautiful iguana, and I call him my iguana. He's about 5 feet, but he's just a wild iguana that chooses to live at my house. He's really big and giant and orange, bright, bright orange, with a giant dewlap on his throat that he's pumping up right now. I'm waving at him through my Florida window. So isn't that amazing? And with all that, we'll see if our engineer is able to play, you know, one of the songs from that beautiful album that you sent me. And by the way, it has something that looks like a Christmas tree on the front of it. Is that what it is?
That's actually the Tree of Peace of the Iroquois, which I can talk about more.
Okay, we'll do that. Let's try to do the music.
Tadli Oguate Gali Wio Gila Dinegle Wisni Honu and Jock. What Tadli Oguate Gali Wio Wisni honu and jock.
And that was absolutely beautiful. Now, can you tell us more about the special tree that is on the front of that album? But also, you're singing in a language. Tell us what language and what the song is about.
Yes, this language is, of course, of the one of the Iroquois dialects. And these particular songs are based around the time when the Iroquois were living a very, very, it was a very dark time. There was a lot of war and bloodshed and violence. The peacemaker came to them and said, you could live a different way if you'd like. And I will show you how to do that. But we must learn how to forgive one another. So he brought the good message, which is, I guess, what you just heard, because I have over 500 songs. So sometimes when someone singles one out, I go, okay, let me think, what was that song? But, 24 recordings later, you know, this was one of my very special recordings. And I'm glad you chose this one, because this particular album speaks about forgiveness. And I know that from healers around the world have told me that holding on to a grudge or holding on to words that someone may have said to you or how someone may have hurt you can really change your inner being. So I understand that this dark time, there was a man named Hiawatha, and you've probably heard of Hiawatha. Hiawatha, people think is a poetry or whatever, but Hiawatha was one of our prophets, and he had beautiful daughters, and all of his daughters were taken. Their lives were taken by this evil chief named Tadadaho. Tadadaho means snakes coming from his hair, and he was a very evil person, and he wanted control. And after all of Hiawatha's daughters were, their lives were taken, he just played by this lake for days, and he was so pained, but he remembered the words that the peacemaker had said. And we have the wampum, which is the color purple and white, which is our Iroquois flag. The purple representing bruising and the white representing peace or forgiveness or truth. And he came to Tadadaho, Hiawatha, along with Jagunsase, the first clan mother, mother of nations. They came singing a song to this evil chief, and it changed his heart. And this is how we became the Iroquois Confederacy, how we came united. And so they say that the peacemaker showed us this tree. There were four white roots that would go to four directions of the earth. And underneath this tree would bury our weapons of war. And they said that one day everyone will hear about this great message of peace and forgiveness.
That is absolutely beautiful. And some of the things you said I want to expand upon a little bit. One is when you discussed wampum being purple and white. Many people don't realize that's the inside of a clamshell.
A quahog shell, correct.
And actually on Long Island, you know, it's collected. They often collect that and then break it into pieces and polish it.
Yeah.
So it's not a really strange concept. It's something that was used. Now, how was that used? I heard that was used as exchange, sort of like money would be.
Well, some people, yes, it was. It became that. However, more importantly, the Iroquois used this wampum during their ceremonies. They say when we hold it in our hands, the pure white wampum, that means our words are being heard directly by the Creator. So your words must be pure and full of truth. When the treaties that were made with the United States and the Iroquois, we have the most treaties of any Native nation in the country. Our wampum was used in belts, and they would replicate the meeting of the minds coming together as one. And there are many, many, many treaty belts. So that was our agreement. This was our final and true word. And so those would be woven into belts as if it was our written word.
That's just beautiful. Now, another thing that you talked about where if you have to ask for forgiveness, you know, things are done wrong, both in between individuals and certainly in between nations. And there's no better example of that than here. But one thing I want to relate to is how widespread these concepts really are, no matter which window we're looking at into spirituality, you get into the same house eventually. So in Judaism, there's actually a holiday called Yom Kippur, and it's about forgiveness. But there are rules there, and the rules are you have to do a deep dive, think about how you have done anything wrong to another individual or nation, and you have to go to that individual and ask for forgiveness and honor the fact that there's something that you did which wasn't correct, and you have to change your action. You have to do those three things before, according to Judaism, you're actually granted forgiveness by the Almighty. You can't just think it. You have to take action. You can't just say it. You have to do it. So that's interesting that we see those consistencies in so many spiritual traditions.
For sure. And, you know, I've had the very great blessing of being able to dance with, to sit with, to pray with, to sing with every probably culture or religion around the world, or spirituality of sorts, from Turkey to Australia to Africa. I mean, everywhere, Korea, and see the beauty that we still hold for one another. And that's a very lovely thing. So when we forgive, we can forgive. It doesn't mean we continue to be abused by that person, but it means that we can, even if they don't allow us forgiveness, there comes a juncture in our life where we know that we tried, we did our best. And so for me, it's a very beautiful thing to watch and to experience and to see how people, and especially I would say women, how we have come to a position where in our households, in our communities, where we can have an influence based on our words and our actions, and how that kind of infiltrates the entire day, right? Say every day in the morning when I wake up with my grandson, I say, happy day, happy day. And he says, happy day. And he says, it's a beautiful day. And today he says, your hair, nice hair. You know, he has beautiful words. So when we are attracted to beautiful words and to good sounds and to nature sounds, and we're in tune with that, everything seems to be in tune as well.
Well, that is really a beautiful thought as well. And you are not kidding, because I want to remind people that you are not just talking out of thin air. You yourself have performed at St. Peter's Basilica, at the White House, at Carnegie Hall, at 5 presidential inaugurations, at the Vatican. You have been so busy in your life traveling the world and sharing your gift of song, which comes from a spiritual place. And even the tones in your voice can create a change in vibration in those locations that where you're sharing it.
Most definitely. I think, and for all of us, you know, irrespective of where we come from, what our upbringing was, who our parents were. I mean, there's a lot of scientific studies that are done out there. There are people who are doing quantum healing. I've been through many workshops. I give workshops and lectures based on music as medicine. And our voice can be music, or our voice can be toxic. So depending on how we go about it, there's a really lovely thing that I'd like to share with you. If people look it up, I think it was on Facebook I saw this, where these children were in school and they had 2 beautiful plants. And one group of children decided they would be the ones to nourish their plant and to sing to it and to give good words and kind words. And this other group of children would bully the plant and yell at it and be very cruel. Well, the plant that was being abused died. So it's very much like our inner selves, because plants and medicines are all based around the fact that they thrive with water, just like we do. See, we're 75 to 80% water. Some of us more coffee or tea. But, you know, I think that water, just like our mother, the earth, she is also the same percentage of water. Although there's very, very little percentage that we can actually drink. So we have to really take care and understand that just like our bodies need water, our plants and medicines need water, our earth mother needs taken care of as well. So if when we're living in harmony, balance with each other and the natural world, we begin to see and realize the vibration of everything has a sound. Every planet has a sound. You can go on the NASA website. You can hear about what those planets sound like. So everything has a sound. And the beauty of it is that if you can hear the birds singing, and you can sing to plants and medicines, and you can give offerings of songs. I've had 25 Buddhist monks and His Holiness's brother spend the night here on one of their journeys. Many times, actually, they've come through and they've spent time here with me, and we didn't speak the same language, but we spoke the language of music. So we shared music all evening, back and forth. It was just beautiful.
And so many experiences like that. And what we're going to do now is take a little break. We are talking today with Joanne Shenandoah. We're going to listen to one of her beautiful songs. And you can find her at her website, and that's at joanneshenandoah.com. And you can easily go on YouTube and just put her name in. She has her own YouTube channel. That's Joanne Shenandoah, with beautiful, beautiful albums. And we're going to listen to one of your songs right now for our break, right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On the dogged and ugly day, a dull hole in my eyes, languidat kodanu ut kogung dilo languis. Anandagi tenakle deedalo mayas languidat kodanu ut kogung dilo languis. Anandagi tenakle deodolumayat languidat godanu ut kogung dilo languis.
And we're back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. This is Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse, and I invite you to find naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. We have so many classes and workshops that you can join in with. You can get CE credits if you're a professional, such as a nurse, nurse practitioner, registered dietitian, licensed massage therapist. And if you're none of those, you're just someone interested in learning more about how you can use herbs and natural therapies for yourself and your family, the courses are open to anyone. It just has that little additional CE if that's something that you need. But we invite you at wherever you're at to join us in learning about earth-based medicine. And today we're so happy to have as our guest, and you've been listening to her beautiful music, Joanne Shenandoah. You can find out more at joanneshenandoah.com. And she has been traveling the world her whole life, healing with music and teaching about culture and really the spiritual thread of sameness that we all share. You know, versus, and let me bring you back in, Joanne. Why do you think, what is your thought about how far off we have gotten as humans? Why is there so much war and conflict around the world and even here in the United States? Why has there been such abuse of the native societies here?
Well, I think not only indigenous societies, but everywhere. It's been going on for a long time. I think there was a loss initially in understanding the balance between a man and a woman, the fact that women had to fight for their rights and to be heard and to have a voice. In our culture, we believe that everyone has a voice, irrespective of age, irrespective of knowledge or of gender, and that we all have a right and responsibility on this earth to one another in the natural world. So when you lose those rights, you become very unhealthy. And it's sad because I realized that while I was working for the Tribal Law Policy Institute in LA, and for about 14 years, I think now, but I've done many, many conferences for children on suicide prevention, from drug use, from self-esteem issues, on and on. And I know that when I did this one lecture and workshop on Music is Medicine, Lifting the Spirit, that every tone correlates to a different key. Like music, for example, actually correlates and you can look it up online, chakra balancing, music notes and chakras. You can just Google that. You will see that there are different keys that affect different parts of your body. So I was working extremely hard. I did a workshop. I didn't realize the Department of Justice was there with Eric Holder's team under the Obama administration. And I got a letter from Eric Holder like 2 weeks later, and he asked me would I help co-chair Children Exposed to Violence Across America for Native American, communities with Senator Dorgan of North Dakota. And I said, how could I say no? This was a very horrendous job. And so I went nationwide listening to testimony. We took 286 recommendations out of all the testimony. And we actually were very successful in pulling together programs and new ideas for children, for after school, for during school. And I came to realize that not only are Indigenous children are suffering in this way, but also every child. So if there's a baby or a child that hears arguing in the next room, their IQ will lower. So it's shocking. We don't realize the ability that we have to be able to make change in our world. And if we personally want to make change in our own lives and become healthier and more vibrant, that we have to make that conscious decision and decide to do that. So what happened is I came back from that stint, which was a year, which was a really grueling and very hard experience for me. And I happened to go to a nursing home because I'm involved in a lot of projects. One is bone marrow drives and the missing and murdered Indigenous women. I could go on and on, but...
Please do.
The thing is that there's a lot out there to be done. If people are bored with their lives, oh my heavens, there's so many things to help with. I'm not kidding you. There's so much people can do. I started a nonprofit foundation called the Hiawatha Institute for Indigenous Knowledge, and I'm one of the original co-founders. And we're doing some great things. We're going to be having courses online for agriculture, for women's rights. I mean, you name it, on Indigenous issues and life living, sustainability for our earth, for one another, for our children. Language. So I feel very, very good about that. And that, you can find that on Facebook as well, the Hiawatha Institute for Indigenous Knowledge. And that's something that's, takes up a lot of my time as well. But irrespective, I went away for a year, did this, and I came back and I contracted C. diff in a nursing home. And from there, I went off to Korea and I came back with double pneumonia. I was really ill. And I ended up at the Mayo Clinic in Florida for 7 months, where near death. And I was really ill. I was on the transplant list. All my organs had failed. And I started remembering all of my techniques on music and vibration of music and sound, such as the healing forks and different keys that affect different parts of your body. And, well, here I am. No transplant. And I asked the doctors, I said, hey, has anyone ever healed from this without having to have a transplant? And they said, Joanne, it's extremely rare. I said, well, if it's rare, then okay, I'm going to do this. And so I came home and I've been continue to record and continue to write. And I've been raising my grandson for the last 2 years. Because my daughter's in a doctorate program. She's now working on her dissertation. And she'll be the only Indigenous woman that will have a degree, a PhD in fashion and apparel design. I'm so proud of her. And she's quite the designer. And her name is Leah. And so I have a beautiful grandson I've been raising and singing to every day. So I was going to say, if you hear the piano going or the drums behind me, that's what's happening over there.
Actually find that is one of the pluses of our new world. You're there here and I'm with my iguana, my grandchildren are not with me in the moment, but we're getting such insight like that. We're seeing so many people, very famous people like you who have been everywhere, and everyone else. We see their cats, their dogs, their grandchildren, and whatever else is going on in their life, really right on TV you see it, right? Like Channel 4 or something, the serious newscaster, and all of a sudden the cats are playing in the background. I mean, I think it's delightful. I think that has been, as horrible as, you know, our challenges might be, a real humanizing aspect that might not have been brought out another way. So there's always some kind of positivity that we can find, a kernel of change. You being so ill, so fantastic that you weren't lost to the world with the beautiful gift that, you share with us. And you give workshops about music and medicine. But you're coming from that, both from a theoretical learning perspective and also something that you believed in enough to use on yourself. So yes, that's a very deep perspective that you can share with others. I'm talking a little bit about politics here, just a little bit. How do you feel about the fact that Deb Haaland is now going to be our Department of Interior on the cabinet of the United States?
I'm very proud of Deb. I really am. I just heard from her yesterday morning, and we have been on a Zoom call regarding the missing and murdered Indigenous women, and she's also very, very passionate about Indigenous life and culture, and it's powerful and it's profound, and I'm very, very excited about it.
There. I am too, because I've been really involved with environmental issues since a young child, actually, and have lived in many places in the world as well, such as in the caves of Spain, in the Pyrenees, wow, and for years in a grass shack in southern Mexico, studying medicine with the people there, as well as the coast of Jamaica, north coast of Jamaica, many, many places. And what we see is environmental devastation here in the United States and everywhere. But it's so profound to me that we will now have Representative Haaland as Interior Secretary. That on a spiritual level as well as a real level, I mean, she could call people like yourself back into service to create change on the land. I mean, land that has been ripped up even recently, because unfortunately they backed off on so many protective laws that were in place during the last 4 years, where they actually have gone in without permission to sacred native lands and just ripped it up. So I'm hoping, you know, we can always, the land can heal, like we just saw recently worldwide with the huge shutdown of industry. And we see these very dramatic pictures of air pollution disappearing within 10 days. We can see again, we can breathe again. So I think she can make some really major changes in a positive direction.
I think she certainly will. There's no doubt in my mind.
And that's, you know, that's a great aspect. So when you're doing music as medicine, how does that go with people who participate with you in that?
Well, I think, how does it go?
Right, like they contact you and...
Oh, well, sometimes I do a Zoom session and I'll advertise it on Facebook right now. I mean, that's the way it's going.
Okay, right.
And, you know, if there were enough people interested, they could email me, of course, on my website is my email. And we could, you know, do that again. I actually have a lot of slides that I show. And, you know, I've been so very blessed to be able to have sung in so many different situations, from children to Gorbachev to, you know, Nelson Mandela. I mean, you know, it comes down to where you realize the importance of your being and your soul on this earth. And what does that mean? How did Wilma Mankiller, for example, a very dear friend of mine, she was the tribal chairwoman of the Cherokee Nation. She has a hospital named after her. She passed on, but I'm the last chapter that she wrote for her book called Every Day is a Good Day. And she was a profound mentor of mine, a very dear friend. And we realize the importance of these people once they've passed. And you think, okay, so what is your legacy? What do you want people to think of you when you've passed on? What would you like them to say about you? Not only your children or your children's children, but maybe your grandchildren's grandchildren. What will they remember you for? It won't be for the kind of car you drove. It won't be for the kind of house you lived in. It'll be what the words maybe that you said, or the songs that you sang, or the way that you influenced people's lives. And that's a very special thought, I think.
Very much so. So when you work with someone then, do you just play music or do you instruct them to bring more music of various kinds into their life and how it might vibrationally influence their actual physical being?
Most definitely how it influences your physical being and also your mental and spiritual welfare. From anything from, say, loss, grief, loneliness, suicide, depression, maybe their ill health. I mean, I took this time during the COVID to lose 35 pounds.
Wow. You Which went was, the opposite way. That wasn't the end thing. It's called extra weight for COVID for most people.
I know, exactly, right? And I just took my grandson outside every day and I just said, let's go for a walk. And he loved it. And he would run nearly 3 miles in the day, the whole day. Like he would sleep better, which is great, you know. So we went outside a lot. I was very, very blessed to do that. But also taking care of yourself, learning and understanding who you are. You know, what do your actually blood levels look like? What is it you need to work on? What can you focus on? And I had a lot of time to do that. So I spent probably 3 years, I would say, meditating. His Holiness meditates 3 hours a day, so I would do 3 to 4 hours a day.
When you say His Holiness, you mean the Dalai Lama. This is not just any old holiness. This is the Dalai Lama that you yourself, you know, have been with.
Yes. His Holiness the Dalai Lama, wonderful person, very, very bright being and beautiful soul. I've had a chance to sing for him a number of times, and it was a great influence. And in my life, I realized that we can influence each other with just, even if we have a mask on, you can tell people are glad to see you.
That's true. Your eyes light up. That is so true.
Right.
Well, we're going to take another little break here, and we're going to listen to another beautiful song from Joanne Shenandoah. You can find several of her albums posted on YouTube. She has her own YouTube channel. And when we come back, we will be continuing our discussion about a bridge for peace in and among all cultures and spiritual traditions, which has always been a focus of mine and certainly on a very, very huge level with our wonderful guest today, Joanne Shenandoah. So we will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
Skala, 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 skala. Nia Shanahawi Jutkut Skana Agaha. Neya shanahawe jutkutskana aga. Neya shanahawe jutkutskana. Gana aga Neya shanahawe jutkut gana aga.
So we are back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And we'd like to share with you that Progressive Radio Network is hosting our show. And we've been on this particular show, I believe, did it start in 1990, something like that. We've actually been doing radio since the late 80s. And we're so happy to always be bringing you all different kinds of information that you can use for your happiness and wellness. And today, we're so happy to have with us our guest, Joanne Shenandoah. The best place to find her is at joanneshenandoah.com. Of course, also all over the place. She's been all over the place, and her music, her beautiful healing music, is listed everywhere. Facebook and, I don't know, YouTube and all, whatever you, wherever you get your music. So thank you so much for sharing with us all this wonderful information today.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, Ellen. This is, well, lovely.
Now, you have really been, let's say, like you said, everywhere from Gorbachev. And you know, a lot of the people, as I was looking at this list of people you have been with, as you said, His Holiness the Dalai Lama, Nelson Mandela, those kinds of people have a pattern where, you know, they were in jail. Look at the Dalai Lama. He was almost killed and chased as a child and has been in exile without losing faith that he's going to be going back for decades. And if we look at someone like Nelson, who was imprisoned for 30 years and came out of there without anger. So that those are wonderful, let's say, models for everyone about not feeling whatever their challenges have been, like they can't get out of this and they are totally a victim. You know, it's about raising your own level of awareness. And I'm truly hoping with our news on the Cabinet Secretary of Interior and the kind of efforts you've been doing, and even in the language you've been sharing with us, even though you certainly are deeply ingrained in your own mother culture, you are not limiting your healing outreach to only your culture, but I believe you're seeing it as a paradigm that reaches so much more widely.
Well, you're very insightful, Ellen, and I appreciate your words regarding these particular leaders and spiritual people that I've had the most honored privilege to meet and to sing for. I think that each and every one of us, irrespective of how we feel, either trapped or worried, or, you know, a lot of people live their life in kind of fear-based, because there's a pill for everything, right? So when we start thinking about these things and how we can lift our own vibration, our own spiritual wellness, that tends to heal our body. And so therefore we have less stress. And during this COVID time, I think it's really important that people realize that there are prophecies that are old and ancient that talk about times like this, and that how we need to understand one another in the respect that we have for our seeds, for example. There are 13 ceremonies we do every year as Iroquois people. And one of my favorite is a seed ceremony, because I love to plant. And I love to watch plants grow, and I love to see the beauty and magic in the plants. And I've actually done tests, like Dr. Emoto from Japan, where he sang to plants, he prayed to plants, or to water, excuse me. And because, you know, we're all mostly water. And he was such an influence on my life. I put my plants in front of my speakers, and sure enough, the plants just flowed right smack into the speaker themselves. And I was like, wow. You know, when I first started music, I was offered $6 million to start my own minority-owned women firm in Washington, D.C. I used to carry a top-secret clearance and put together multi-million dollar benchmarks for different computer corporations and systems integration work. I was an kind of an engineer in a sort of way. Used to teach C programming and unit-based operating systems, and it was intense. It was very intense, a lot of work, and I managed 72 people during this time period where my superior, I should call him superior because he was so wonderful. He became ill and he asked me to take over. And it was a lot of work, but, you know, I saw this huge tree being cut down outside my window office and I said right there, oh, I am not using my creator-given gifts. I've always sung. I've always been a singer. And I've always loved to use my voice in a way that would help people. And I get emails from people all over the world saying that you've helped me through this difficult time, even through the COVID time. And, you know, my son or daughter this or my husband that. And, you know, people are suffering everywhere. But, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel. And when we think about that, you realize that you do have an influence. You do have some amazing gifts and creator-given talents. So if you don't mind, I'd love to sing a little rattle song.
Oh, we would love you to do that. Please share.
Yeah, this song, in every rattle that we have, we've usually put seeds in there. And the seeds actually call to all creation. So we are honoring our seeds, which continue to give us life. And this is to the women. This is a woman's song.
And thank you so much for joining us today for a wonderful end of the year show right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. I'm hoping that all of you got a chance to listen to our beautiful discussion with our guest today. And of course, the show will be archived, as they always are, with Joanne Shenandoah. And we did get pretty much our whole show in, other than the very last song that she was going to do, the rattle song for us. So that just means we'll have to bring her back again, because then there was one of those, you know, those Skype gremlins that come in now and then. I think we've all experienced those little entities from time to time. But nonetheless, we're going to have a beautiful end of the year, and that's what I'm hoping for you. I'm really, really excited with the new energy that's coming in, with the pattern of the planets that has been very intense recently with the solstice. And as we move forward into our new coming of the light, like Hanukkah is the festival of light, and the solstice is bringing back the light, which is what we're going to all be doing, God willing, with our coming time. So that was a wonderful time to have our beautiful guest, Joanne Shenandoah, talking about Native American music and culture. You can find her at joanneshenandoah.com. And until next time, we're hoping from The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, that you join us each week, that you listen to our archives, that you go to naturalnurse.com to get in touch with myself or my co-host, Dr. Eugene Zamperone. Until next time, we're hoping that you stay healthy.